Welcome to the FEG Insight Bridge. This is Greg Dowling, Head of Research and CIO at FEG, an institutional investment consultant and OCIO firm serving nonprofits across the U.S. This show spans global markets and institutional investments through conversations with some of the world's leading investment, economic, and philanthropic minds to provide insights on how institutional investors can survive and even thrive in the world of markets and finance. As a special bonus feature this month, we wanted to highlight the Cincinnati Icebreakers, the charity that we support with our upcoming FEG Hockey Classic. Hear a firsthand account of the powerful impact that it's had on not only the players, but the parents. No matter what the score, these are true winners. Frank, welcome to the FEG Insight Bridge. Would you maybe introduce yourself and the organization you represent?
My name is Frank Yantek, and I'm involved with the Cincinnati Icebreakers. It's an adaptive sled hockey program based here in Cincinnati.
Why are organizations like the Cincinnati Icebreakers important?
In the disabled community, you have two sides to it. One is everyone knows Special Olympics, and it's a great organization, but that is more intellectual disabilities. There is a lot of money and funding for those groups that are out there. However, on the other side of it, where you have people with physical disabilities, it is a lot of smaller groups that are usually city-based as opposed to being a national organization. So we got involved with the sled hockey side of it. Our family was always a hockey family. My youngest son was born with spina bifida, and he always wanted to play hockey, got involved with a local roller hockey program that they started in our community and asked if he could play, and ended up becoming a goalie in a power wheelchair. He was the only disabled person and did that for about 7 or 8 years.
Wow.
So he wanted to be involved. He got involved. And from there, he was doing some physical therapy, and there was a woman by the name of Renee Loftspring, and she is a physical therapist. She taught at one of the local colleges. Her son played hockey, and she was dealing with these individuals with physical disabilities. She convinced her son's high school hockey coach to try to get involved in this. His name is Rob Ox. He is from Canada. He is serious hockey all the time. He has been the coach from the very beginning. They started a program where they brought some individuals down from Columbus who already had a team set up and a nonprofit organization all set up. They came down. We got my son on the ice, and he was hooked. There were three or four of them. My wife and I got involved from the very beginning. And from that time until today, one of or both of us has always been involved on the board of directors of the organization. And this past year, we finally got to the point where we were large enough where we became our own nonprofit organization. So we split off from Ohio Sled Hockey and are now the Cincinnati Icebreakers.
For those who haven't seen this before, maybe we'll take a step back and describe what it's like. Well, how does that sled hockey work?
First of all, it is hockey. Everything is exactly the same. There's one rule that's different where you can't hit somebody with the front of your sled into their side. It's called T-boning. Every other rule is exactly the same as hockey. At the upper levels, it is full contact hockey. At the lower levels, some people just come out for physical activity at our practices to do that. If you think about a bucket seat and you have two blades underneath it, and there is a frame that goes out for your feet, almost like if you think about a trombone slide, there's a sling on it. Your feet are straight out in front of you, and what's happening is you're strapped in and it's adjustable to the length. Then you have two sticks. They're about a foot and a half long. The top of it is shaped like a hockey blade, and the bottom of it has two metal picks that dig into the ice. You propel yourself with your arms and then also can use both of the sticks to shoot and pass the puck.
I've done this before. It is really hard. And they and the people that have been doing this for a while, they fly.
In all honesty, I play stand-up hockey now.
I've seen you play hockey. It's I don't know if I'd call it real hockey, but that's okay.
Fair enough. But what happens is some of these players are now so fast, it is literally difficult to keep up with them. We have two players that are now two of the fastest players in the world.
Wow.
So it's crazy. What ends up happening is we started out with a small group. Some of them just come out on Monday nights for practice and just to get physical activity. We have an adult team now that travels. And then we have two players who are in the upper echelons of USA Paralympic hockey.
Wow. I've seen them play and they're flying around. I just think that's got to be so amazing. If you have a disability that you're on the ice, you're flying around, you're hitting people, you probably forget that you have any issues. And so there's that competitive nature that's probably great. But being on a team and traveling, can maybe talk about how important that is for some of these individuals?
Oh, it's the social aspects of this are more important than the physical aspects, in my opinion. You have individuals who were born with disabilities, and it's actually easier for them to deal with this because they've dealt with it their entire life. They just wanted to do things. They just didn't know there was an opportunity for them to be able to participate in these kind of sports. And they're really isolated in their lives. A lot of things happen where, just some instances with my son, there were birthday parties that he wasn't invited to because their homes weren't handicap accessible and they didn't want to be embarrassed in things of that nature. So part of this is it allows those individuals to be with other individuals in the social settings and allows them to be themselves. They make friends. They learn leadership. The individuals who have had spinal cord injuries, we have people, ex-military, who have had double amputees and things like that. It's much more difficult for those individuals because they were used to being studs in life, played sports and the whole bit, and now their whole life has changed. And it's kind of like this, oh, woe is me. How am I going to live my life the rest of it? And we get them on the ice one time, and usually that's it. And then when they see that it is full contact and they can do the things they did before, you see smiles on your face. No matter how bad my day is, on Monday nights, you go to practice and you see these people out there smiling, and it just makes everything better.
You mentioned earlier that there's been some success, at least at a local level, with some individuals. Maybe you can kind of share a little bit more about that.
The individuals that we have, the obvious ones and the ones that people see all the time, we have an individual, his name is Ben Musselman. He was born in China with spina bifida, was abandoned, and a family locally adopted him. We got him on the ice, and from day one, he has just been incredible. He was on at like 12 years old. At 15 or 16, he made the U.S. National Developmental Team, had some medical issues, and then COVID hit and wasn't on the ice. Unfortunately, he did not make the national team for the last Paralympics, which were in China. But this past summer, he made it to the national team. He went over to the Czech Republic and played over there and is now one of the best players in the entire world. And the other side of it, on the female side, we have the cutest hockey player in the entire world.
She is cute.
Jamie Benassi. She's about 4 feet tall, yeah. And she is one of the most competitive people I've ever met in my entire life. On the ice the first time, had the perfect stroke on the sleds, had to do no adjustments to her, started working out for Christmas. She made her parents get her hockey movies, videos, and season tickets to the Cincinnati Cyclones team so she would understand the game. This past year, she made the women's national team. So we now have one of the best women players in the world and one of the best men players in the world from our program that started 15 years ago. Those are the ones that are the obvious. The ones that you don't see are individuals where we had a woman who was in her late 20s, early 30s, had a spinal cord injury, was an incredible track athlete, almost world-class track athlete, went into a wheelchair, and we finally got her to come out onto the ice and took her to a tournament up in Columbus. She just looked at all the people and she said, this was in the evening and after we had pizza party afterwards, she was like, thank all of you. She said, I felt so bad for myself. She said, I come up here and I see these little kids taking their legs off. Some of them only have one arm and these people are out there playing hockey and it just gave me a whole different perspective on life to be able to go back into life. My best story is we had a woman who came out and brought her brother who was in an automobile accident. And she said, please, please, please don't post anything about this on Facebook or anywhere else. My parents do not know I brought my brother here. So he was in his mid-30s. We got him in the sled. And at the end of the day, she came over in tears. She said, this is the first time I've seen him smile in 2 years.
Wow.
To do that. So it's not only just those athletes who are world class, but it's those giving people life again. And when we go to these tournaments and the adult teams, we sit around in a hotel lobby with pizza in the evening. People have their prosthetic legs off and arms off and in wheelchairs, in braces, in everything else, laughing and some adult beverages involved and things like that up till 2 o'clock in the morning. And they become real people again and are included back in society. Those are just some of the success stories that we've had.
Yeah, win or lose on the ice. That's a great success. Yeah,
exactly.
One of the reasons that we donate money to the Icebreakers is because if you're a family and you're dealing with someone that has a need and you're spending a lot of money to equip your van, your house, and then to say, hey, we're having a tournament in Detroit or Chicago or whatever and paying for it, that can be tough, right?
Hockey is ridiculously expensive to begin with. And in the beginning, we got a sled lending program through USA Hockey. And we had a youth program that was kind enough to donate old stinky youth hockey equipment. It was
bad. For those who haven't played hockey, hockey equipment smells really bad.
It's unbelievable. But what happened is we had some individuals, ex-military things, and we have this little equipment. And so we struggled in that first part of it to get that. But the second year, we got a grant from the NHL Players Association for $10,000. And a sled runs between $700 and $1,000. All the rest of the equipment, you're looking at $300, $400, $500. That's just to get it equipped. Ice time is, we started out an hour every week. And then we're up to 40 players and we needed more ice time and split it up. So we're up to an hour and a half. It's like 15 grand a year for us just for the ice time. If you host tournaments and things like that, there are additional costs involved with that whole process. And then for the people who are doing traveling to do that, it is a whole other part of it. So we kind of worked into this and we did fundraisers. The volunteers have been incredible. The fundraisers, we started doing things with the Cincinnati Cyclones. If we sold enough tickets, we got $5 for each ticket, and they would allow the players to be on the ice between periods, which gave us more exposure to find additional players, but also money. We have people who would come by and volunteer and just say, can I come on the ice with you? We had one young man who played youth hockey, stopped there and watched us and stood there watching and watching. About a month later, we got a call from his mother and said that he is having his bar mitzvah. And he requested all gifts be given to the Cincinnati Icebreakers.
Wow.
2 months later, we get this envelope with a stack of checks in it. And that has been incredibly helpful. If we need a sled for someone, you get a cute little girl saying, we need to get a sled at $700. We get the money right away. That's not been an issue. But to get money for the ice where people can't see the physical donations there was more difficult. And the most difficult part of it was to get funds for travel. Because as you talked, I have a son with spina bifida, had great insurance and the whole bit, but the funds beyond that, or it's ridiculously expensive to be able to cover all those different things that they need above and beyond just their basic medical care. We have some of these people from the inner city who have very little resources on there. Literally have never stayed in a hotel, don't have a credit card, and don't know how to make a reservation with these kind of things. We have never, ever had a player who was not able to play or was not able to travel because of these funds. And that's part of the funds that you've helped us with. That's where they've gone, is to make sure that happens. The first year is absolutely free for everyone, zero expense to get the people on the ice. After that, I think it's $175 a year if you can afford it for the basic thing. If not, we have scholarships for that, plus the scholarships for the travel for the tournaments and things that we do. We're in the league now. We go everywhere from Grand Rapids. We're going to Knoxville on Saturday. We were in Fort Wayne last weekend. We go to Pittsburgh, Columbus, Chicago. It's been great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Having watched it, one thing, if you're listening to this, you can kind of visualize it. Yeah, they're flying around and yeah, they're hitting each other. You can kind of see, kind of picture that in your mind. I think the coolest thing is almost like in basketball, when you're changing directions and you're protecting the ball, how you go through your legs, they're going really fast and they're going between the sled. I mean, they're going from one side to the other to protect it. It is the coolest thing. If you ever see it on TV or get a chance to watch it, it's fun.
Yeah, it's all over YouTube. If you go into YouTube and search sled hockey, you can see local teams and also you can see the U.S. national team in playing in the Paralympics. U.S. has won the last three gold medals in the Paralympics. That's the different part of the game. There's two sticks instead of one, but the rest of it is exactly the same on there.
It's hockey.
Yeah, it's hockey.
And it's a workout, too. It's a huge working on your arms. I mean, oh my gosh.
We used to do it at the end of the season. We did players against the coaches and volunteers, and we can't even come close
to you. I can imagine. I can imagine. Well, we're going to support this again this year and our involvement with your organization, seeing all the great works that you do for all these families and players. If anybody's listening to this and they want to either get involved or contribute, what's the best way to do that?
If you go to our website, it's cincinnatisledhockey.org, and there is links to it. You can see some of the stories of the individuals. There's some videos that are on there and also the address of where you can help fund. If you'd like to send some money and help some additional players out there, we would appreciate that.
That is great. Hey, Frank, thanks so much for coming on this podcast.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
If you are interested in more information on FEG, check out our website at www.feg.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our communications so you don't miss the next episode. Please keep in mind that this information is intended to be general education that needs to be framed within the unique risk and return objectives of each client. Therefore, nobody should consider these to be FEG recommendations. This podcast was prepared by FEG. Neither the information nor any opinion expressed in this podcast constitutes an offer or an invitation to make an offer to buy or sell any securities. The views and opinions expressed by guest speakers are solely their own and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of their firm or of FEG.